KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
In addition to a slate of candidates, Oregonians will be asked to vote on 5 ballot measures this November. And while many feel that this year's presidential race is the most important in decades, Oregon Measure 97, also known as IP28, has a potential for significant impact in the state. If passed, the Oregon Business Tax Increase Initiative would require C corporations, which are typically the largest publicly held companies, to pay a 2.5% tax on all sales in excess of $25 million per year within the state of Oregon. It would apply to both in-state and out-of-state corporations, and is projected to raise about $3 billion per year. It would be the biggest tax increase in Oregon history, and would increase the total state tax revenues by about 25%. The ballot initiative specifies that new revenues generated by the tax would be targeted towards education, health, and senior citizen services. The Oregon Center for Public Policy, an organization devoted to the advancement of policies and practices that improve the economic and social opportunities of all Oregonians, has come down strongly in favor of Measure 97. Communications Director Juan Carlos Ordonez put it this way.
IP28, or what will be Measure 97, is really our first opportunity to change things for the better, to bring in the kind of revenue that we need to provide all our kids a quality education and to address some of those needs and aspirations that Oregonians have. We see it as a real game changer in terms of Oregon tax policy and in terms of our ability as a state to fund those key public services that create opportunity for all Oregonians.
The organization, A Better Oregon, is a coalition of hundreds of businesses and community organizations that also support Measure 97. Otto Schell is a legislative director of the Oregon PTA and a member of A Better Oregon.
Measure 97 really came about because we've had years and years of uneven and inadequate funding for schools. So Measure 97 generates about $6 billion, billion with a B, on a two-year basis because the state budget is written every 2 years. We create a budget at the state. It would pour money into education, healthcare, and senior services.
Proponents argue that corporate income taxes have fallen dramatically as a percentage of state revenues over the last 30 years, and the measure is viewed as an attempt to get some of the largest corporations doing business in Oregon to pay more of their fair share of taxes. Here's Otto Schell again.
We've seen a shift away from kind of a mix of corporate and personal income to a heavy reliance in Oregon to pay for critical services, principally on personal income tax. And people know that Oregon's income tax is fairly substantial on individuals. Oregon is 50th in the nation. We're bottom of the list on corporate taxes.
During our conversations, both Ordonez and Schell emphasized that Measure 97 was targeted at the very biggest companies and was intentionally designed in such ways to not harm smaller and local companies.
The way the tax measure is designed, it establishes a 2.5% tax on Oregon sales above $25 million. And these tend to be the largest corporations, so for example, the Walmarts, Verizon's and Home Depot's of the world. It was designed in a way to not affect small businesses, and for the most part, it affects out-of-state corporations.
I think Measure 97 is a pathway to getting those big corporations to pay a fair share. Really favors the small business entities that many of the New Seasons or the local kind of shopping places that you and I might frequent.
Not surprisingly, for every strong proponent of the Oregon Business Tax Increase Initiative, there is an equally strong opponent. John Taponia is the president of Eco Northwest, an economic consulting firm that has been doing business in the Pacific Northwest for over 40 years and consulting with the Oregon Business Council for the last 12 years. He is opposed to the introduction of a large gross receipts tax.
I've been critical of the tax's design and potential consequences if passed. Oregon, if Measure 97 passed, would be sort of dramatically introducing the largest gross receipts tax in the country. Large majority of mainstream economists view gross receipts taxes as behaving like sales taxes, and that they would ultimately be borne by consumers and disproportionately relative to their income, low-income consumers.
One area where there is strong disagreement between the two sides is around the possibility that much of the gross receipts tax simply gets passed back to the consumers. Of particular concern is a potential impact on the cost of food and other necessities. Both Shell and Ordóñez are confident that the tax won't land on consumers.
The way we see it is that there are limits, we think, to what the ability of companies to pass on the tax to consumers, given that there are that they have to deal with competitors who won't be affected by the tax.
The Oregon Consumer League just issued a kind of a shopping basket to shopping basket comparison. Their finding is that corporate taxes don't drive that kind of pricing. We think that Consumer League report really tells the story. The frightening specter of very basic food items, you know, being jacked up based on their research says it's not going to happen that way.
Taponi, on the other hand, believes that large supermarkets and others will have no choice but to pass the tax through.
The argument coming from the proponents that somehow grocery stores are going to be incapable of incorporating these costs into their operational costs and ultimately into their prices is absurd, and it it flies in the face of numerous broad studies on variations in regional food prices that are driven by variations in operating costs across the country.
As is always the case, the devil is in the details. And although the exact impact can't be estimated, there seems to be no doubt that some portion of the 2.5% tax will find its way back to Oregon consumers. The Tax Foundation, a Washington, D.C.-based think tank, has estimated that Measure 97 would raise all prices in Oregon by an average of 0.9%. An analysis of the measure by the nonpartisan Oregon Legislative Revenue Office has calculated that implementation of the measure would increase Oregon's per capita state and local tax burden by roughly $600 and move the state from 28th to 20th among states in terms of total tax burden. Although it's the large corporations that actually pay the taxes, there seems to be no doubt that some portion of the tax will end up being passed back to the consumer. The only question is, how much? Both organizations agree that the tax would be regressive. Although it would be felt by all Oregonians, it would hit low and middle incomes the hardest. In terms of employment and hiring, the Legislative Revenue Office analysis suggests that there will be a slight dampening effect on employment and job creation during its first 5 years. The office estimates that without the new tax, Oregon would add approximately 165,000 new jobs by 2022. But if the tax is implemented, that number drops to 144,000 new jobs. Proponents of the tax have said the additional revenues will be targeted at schools, healthcare, and senior services, and there certainly does appear to be a real need to increase spending in those three areas. The most recently available U.S. Census Bureau data shows that the Oregon spend per student is approximately 11% below the U.S. average. Governing Magazine has calculated that the Oregon spend per student dropped nearly 5% from 2014 to 2010 when adjusted for inflation. And the Oregon school year is typically 165 days compared to the 180 days for most states. Moving on to health care, despite the significant improvements that came with the introductions of the Affordable Care Act, Oregon Health and Science University has estimated that over 5% of the state's population still do not have health insurance. And finally, the Oregon Department of Human Services has estimated that in the last 10 years, there has been a 61% increase in the number of seniors living in poverty in Oregon. With numbers like that, most would agree that there is a real need for the additional revenue generated by this new tax. After months of speculation, last week Governor Kate Brown publicly endorsed corporate tax measure 97. She said that she supported the measure because, quote, "There is a basic unfairness in our tax system that makes working families pay an increasing share for state and local services, including public schools, senior services, and health care," end quote. She also stated that she would look for some modifications to counteract some of the negative impacts of the tax, including increasing the state's earned income tax credit, expanding a low-income energy assistance program, and changing how the state classifies the location of sales for certain industries so that businesses such as software companies would not pay the tax on their sales to out-of-state customers. Many questions remain about the potential impact of Oregon Measure 97. Tax revenues in Oregon all go into the general fund. Will these new revenues actually be spent on education, health care, and senior services as they were intended? Will the tax have an overall negative impact on the business climate in Oregon? What strategies might corporations employ to minimize or completely avoid the new tax? Can safeguards be put in place so that this tax does not adversely impact low- and middle-income families? And those questions only need to be answered if the tax measure passes. But at this point, there are powerful commercial interests aligned against the new tax, and its passage is by no means guaranteed. For KBOO News, this is Ray Bodwell.